We shall someday be heeded, and when we shall have our amendment to the Constitution of the United States, everybody will think it was always so, just exactly as many young people think all the privileges, all the freedom, all the enjoyments which women now possesses always were hers. They have no idea of how every single inch of ground that she stands upon today has been gained by the hard work of some little handful of women in the past. Susan B. Anthony.
Hey, everybody, welcome to a new season of the 10 to 12 podcast, the official podcast of Teamsters Local 1150. I'm Stephen French.
And I'm Jason Shoemaker.
So as we embark on a new season of the 10 to 12 podcast, we're going to start with a series that we're calling Who We Are. In this series, we'll spend several episodes exploring the Teamsters Local 1150 membership, talk about what we're doing in our small part of the labor movement to advance our causes. The 10 to 12 series, Who We Are, starts today with Women at Work. But first, let's take a dive into our contract.
So today we're talking about one of my favorite topics. If you've ever been to one of our membership meetings, it's something I always tell the members to look out for. It's part of 7.27 in your contract, and it's salary performing hourly work. I've beaten this one to death, so bear with me. But please, we fought for this new language in our contract. It's very strong language. We've had a lot of success using it so far. And basically, here's what it says. When a salaried employee performs work that is clearly bargaining unit work in violation of this section of the contract, and a valid grievance is filed on that, if settled, the company will take appropriate action. And such action could include a monetary settlement to the affected member of not less than 1 hour of pay or the actual hours worked, whichever is greater. So, you know, we've seen a lot of 1 hour payouts, but there's also times where these, you know, tasks exceed 1 hour.
I think what members need to understand is, you know, we as union officials, we talk about this all the time. We talk to the company about it all the time. We try to enforce this idea, right? And we have for years. But with this language, it really puts the onus on the members, right? We need members to raise their hand when salary is doing your job. Right. Yeah. We need that to happen so that we can enforce this language.
Yeah. And I want to be clear. This is not something we put in our contract as a money grab for members. So, you know, somebody in the company might try to make you feel that way to discourage you from, you know, filing one of these grievances. But what you're doing here is you're protecting our work. You're protecting our contract. And this is a penalty to make sure that the company actually abides by what we agreed to in our contract.
Right. So the idea is to make it hurt a little bit so they stop doing it.
Exactly.
Right.
So please make sure you raise your hand. And bare minimum, if you're not willing to raise your hand, at least let the steward know, hey, this is going on. I witnessed it. And let the steward be the one to grieve it, you know, if you're not willing to do it. So obviously we've been on a little bit of a sabbatical here. There's been a ton of work down here at Union Hall. So we're going to be changing up the format a little bit. Like Steve kind of previewed, we're looking at a new segment down here, Who We Are. It's going to focus on the members. And we're going to move in terms of schedule to somewhat of a periodic time frame. Rather than being on a rigid two-week schedule here, we're going to record the episodes. We're going to, you know, make sure we're getting members down here to take part in some of these episodes. Try to make it a more member focus, and in order to allow that kind of interaction down here, we're definitely going to be spacing them out a little bit more.
Yep, for sure. So just keep on looking at our website for new episodes, or wherever you find our podcast. Just check it out on a weekly basis and look for new episodes. We're not making any promises about what the cadence will be. We'd like to be somewhere around the two episodes a month pace.
Yeah, and the other thing is, if you don't have our app, make sure you download our app. We send out a push notification every time we post a new episode, so that's a great way to, you know, make sure you get an alert right when it's loaded. But like Steve said, you could also follow us on Podbean, which I don't think many people use.
But right. But
it's there.
Yeah, it's there, and that's who hosts us.
But download the app, because that's the one I manage.
So let's do this, right? Who We Are, Women at Work. That's our first episode of the 2024 season. So last year for Women's History Month, we highlighted women in labor. We told stories of, you know, trailblazers like Fannie Sellens, Rosina Tucker, Mother Jones. We told the story of the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire, right? So we, you know, it was sort of a women's history lesson in women in the labor movement. The episode took us back to the roots of the labor movement. It revealed the vital role that women have played in the advancement of workers and their unions throughout the years. Really important story. That history is so important for us to hear and to remember and to know. But we're making our own history right here at Local 1150 every day. Maybe some people think it's unimportant or not worth talking about because, hey, it's 2024, right? But I couldn't disagree more. As we close out Women's History Month of 2024, we need to tell the story of our women. We need to have that discussion about their accomplishments, about their continued struggles. The world that we work in, factory work, it is still a male-dominated world. But the women of Local 1150 are making really important advances in our workplace. They're doing it in a way that feels like it's been the norm for a long time. It feels very matter-of-fact, and I get the feeling that the women here aren't fighting to belong, but they know they already do. So to help us have that conversation, joining us today on the show to have that discussion are Melissa Castro and Kristen Sarno. Welcome, ladies.
Hi, thanks for having us.
So each of you take a little bit of time and tell us a little bit about yourselves, right? What's your story here at Sikorsky, here at Local 1150?
Sure, thanks guys for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to participate. So, like you said, my name is Melissa Castro. I've been at Sikorsky for 6 years this past February. I'm a proud member. I absolutely love my job. I'm a welder in blades on the tie line, and I'm really happy to be there. On my personal time, I'm married with a dog child, whom I love very much, and I like to I don't have much free time, but I like to ride my motorcycle. I play softball. I like to landscape my property. And so that's pretty much it.
Do you have one of those meticulously manicured lawns?
Like Yankee pinstripes.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. That's really cool. Yeah. So a couple of things. I did not know you were here for 6 years already. You feel much newer to me than that. So that's news to me. And what's the dog child's name?
Jet, J-E-T-T.
Nice, yeah. Jet. And what breed?
So he's what they call a Chiweenie, half Dachshund, half Chihuahua. He's going to be 14 next month, and he's just the little love of my life.
Yeah, yeah. Short little legs?
He actually has tall legs and a long body.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he's super cute.
I really need to see a picture of that.
I'll show you.
Kristen.
I've been at Sikorsky for 18 years, and I work in shipping and receiving, but I've actually had like four different jobs since I started.
Yeah, we knew each other back in final assembly, so why don't you give people a little bit more background? You started out there, right? Or no, even
No, I actually,
back.
Yeah, right. I started out in the machine shop.
Right.
I did small parts assembly, so I was working on, you know, a lot of the swash plates and things like that. But then I had an opportunity to move out to the assembly line, and I became a hydraulic mechanic out there. Yep. So I did that for, I want to say, 6 years.
Then a hydraulic lead.
Yeah, I became a hydraulic lead. And then I decided, you know, that wasn't enough. Let me go start all over again down in shipping and receiving. And I've been there now for about 3 years, and I actually really enjoy it. I just got promoted to lead there too. So I really like driving the forklift around all over the place.
Fun, right?
It's the best part of the job.
So I got to tell you, and it's kind of the same thing, right? I have to tell the story this way. If you were at the last membership meeting, we did a video because Rick Rollinson is retiring. We had kind of a slideshow of, you know, Rick through the years. And when I was looking through some of the strike photos to look for pictures of Rick, I saw a picture of you, Kristen. And I'm like, no, why is Kristen there? There's no way she was working in this company back in 2006.
Yeah, I was. And actually, fun fact, I didn't even have my 90 days yet.
Really?
Yeah. I was terrified when I got hired because we talked about going on strike and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to lose my job. And my mom, she just retired. She worked with the company for 45 years. And she's like, well, we're going to have to figure something out for you. And I'm thinking I'm going to have to drive into work with big things all over my car. Like, I'm really sorry, guys, but I don't have my 90 days, so I have to do this.
Yeah.
And thankfully, you know, they made the agreement that we would be able to come back and there would be no reprimands for that.
Yeah. I know that was scary for some folks with 90 days.
But credit to you for not doing it, because there's unfortunately some people who did.
Yep.
And, you know, I remember Rocco saying that there was no way in hell we would ever come back over that line without protection for everybody on their 90. So glad you took him for his word, because I haven't seen him break it.
Yeah. So both of you are involved with the Women's Committee, which, you know, I think the reason we started with women, well, there's an obvious reason, right? Because it's Women's History Month. But the Women's Committee is really growing. Like, I poked my head into the meeting the other day, right? And I was shocked at how full the room was. Every time, it seems like every time you have a meeting, there's more people. So that's awesome. I'm pretty excited. I brag about you guys all the time.
It's like union organizing 101, right?
Yeah.
You see every meeting, you see it grow, and it's like somebody walks in with two, three friends that they brought.
Yep, and that's your thing, right?
Yeah.
Your thing is come to a meeting and bring a friend or two,
right?
So you've always said that, and I think that's a great idea, and it seems to be what the women are doing. So the question to you is, and whoever wants to answer first, whatever, why did you want to get involved with the Women's Committee?
I'll let you go first.
Cool. Yeah, so in my personal life, I do a lot of service work. I try to live an altruistic lifestyle, and which is really important to me, and service is a big part of that. But I came to the realization that I spend so much time at work that, like, why wasn't I doing service where I spend the majority of my time instead of cramming it all into my personal life? And, you know, I was made aware of the Women's Committee, and I was like, well, this is the perfect opportunity. It's also a perfect opportunity to get more involved. And, you know, because I was pretty sheltered in the weld room for a lot of years, you know, just really working hard and not ever really being outside of that room. So, you know, my first, you know, handful of years, I really didn't know anyone. I didn't make any real connections. And
exactly why I probably didn't know that you have been here for 6 years.
And I feel like just my world and my career was small, and it doesn't have to be that way. And so I felt like this was just a perfect opportunity to, one, give back, and two, just make more connections, because, you know, the union is strong. It's there for a reason, and I want to utilize it.
Yeah, I want to make the point that, because there's criticism of the caucuses, right, from different corners of the union, and it's really why we wanted to have this conversation with all of the caucuses. You know, that there are people who think that the caucuses divide us, and it's absolutely the opposite, right? The caucuses bring us together, and I think it's really important that you talked about service, right? That you talked about that being the reason why you wanted to get involved, because it's not, you know, people don't get involved to isolate themselves, say, oh, I only want to hang out with women, right? So that's not what it is, right? It's about reaching out as a union member and helping people outside of the union or helping the union as a whole, right? To by either doing those service things or bringing your issues to the union, right? That maybe we are not aware of.
Right.
So I think it's really important for people to understand that the caucuses are meant to be positive, are meant to bring us together, not divide us. So
totally agree.
Yeah,
Kristen,
definitely.
What about you?
But actually, to what you were saying, you know, we are not women only. So we're looking for some male allies out there if you want to come and join us the third Tuesday of every month. I decided to join the Women's Committee because like Melissa said, I feel like most of it's going to be repetitive of what she said. I just wanted to get involved. I've been with the company for 18 years, but I didn't join the women's committee until about 5 years ago. And I really wanted to start making my way into getting more involved with the union. You don't realize it when you're younger, because I started at Sikorsky when I was 19 years old. Back then, I really did not realize how much of a role the union played in my life and in my future at that point. But as I started to get older and start to have a family, you have a house, you have bills you have to pay, you're starting to, you know, even at 37, I'm sitting here thinking about, oh man, retirement, like, what am I going to have when that comes across? So you start to realize you really need to get involved, start knowing what you're doing. And this was the perfect way. I loved knowing that there was a committee that I could get involved in with a group of other women that were like-minded.
And that's awesome. And again, you know, you said something that kind of sparked a thought in me that, it's a vehicle to make people feel comfortable in the union, to better understand the union and what the role of the union is. I had a similar experience. I was raised in a white collar family. I didn't want to go to college, so I came to work in a factory, right? And I was approached immediately by my union steward. Hey, you going to join the union? And I was like, what? No. And here I am now, a business agent for the union and the union's director of communications. So I've come, you know, leaps and bounds from my first day on the job was immediately, no, I'm not joining the union. What do I need a union for? Right? Because that's the house I grew up in. Right. So, right. It's so important to bring people into the union, into an understanding of the role that the union plays in your life, no matter how that is, right? No matter what that vehicle is.
I think one of the coolest things I've seen about the women's committee is that it seems like everybody gets together, they kind of bring their experience to the table and talk about it. And you all have had meaningful impact on like contract negotiations, just trying to drive different causes. Bright Horizons, right? That was women's committee members that brought forward.
Yeah.
Even thinking back to when we were younger on the line, right? I remember when you first got pregnant and you started thinking about safety in the workplace.
Like, yeah.
What hazards are out there? What rights do I have? And that kind of evolved, right? And then years later ends up with, you know, Bright Horizons coming in and things like that. So it's cool to see, you know, everybody gets together, you start these conversations. I don't think you know or have a plan where you're going to end up. But you can have a really meaningful impact.
Yeah. Yeah. I can remember the first time I met both of you. Or maybe not the first time I met you, but the first time I remember, like, thinking, huh, okay. Letter 35 for you when you told yeah. your story. And I was like, wow, what a story.
Yeah.
And Melissa, you approached me at the contract ratification vote. And I have to admit that I don't even remember what our conversation was. I know that you had some kind of question and you were asking me a question. I was sitting on the stage at the Oakdale Theater. You were talking to me. And I remember when you walked away, I went, I love her. She needs to be involved with the union.
That's awesome. Right? I appreciate that. And I do remember that encounter. I don't remember what the question was, but it was definitely, I walked away feeling good.
Yeah. Good. So see, that's, you know, that's how it works.
What we're trying to build here.
Yep, that is. So talk to us about the Women's Committee, right? The kinds of things that you're doing, the kinds of projects you're working on. What's it all about? What do you guys talk about at those meetings?
We talk a lot about our nails and getting our hair done.
Everything you expected, you bigot.
That's sorry.
Fantastic. Exactly well what I thought.
Well done.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. Actually, our most recent meeting was about our Easter Bunny breakfast. So that's actually coming up this weekend, and it'll be our second year doing it. And what I've noticed is, like, as you were saying, with the way the committee grew, the bunny breakfast has pretty much doubled since last year in ticket sales already. And it's just really fun. It's a great time seeing the families of our union get together.
Yeah, my kids are looking forward to it.
Awesome.
It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, so do you talk, like, at all about using events like that to recruit people, to, you know, to get people to meetings or anything like that? Or is it just you rely on that to hopefully happen organically?
I would say we hope it to happen organically. Like, when we're focused on an event, we're focused on serving others. At least that's the way I see it.
And I think that's the way it should be, right? I'm just asking the question. I think that it might be a turnoff for people to feel like, you know, this is not like really what agenda. It seems, right? Yeah. There's a hidden agenda here.
So yeah. I can tell you, as just a participant, usually I'm helping, you know, try and run things in the background, and this, I get to just go enjoy it, and it's not like that at all. Yeah. I mean, you don't get that flair. You just see a ton of women working together, putting on an awesome event for the kids.
Yeah, and you just hope that people walk away thinking, wow, you know, the women's committee is awesome. The union is awesome, right?
Totally. There's no ulterior motives.
And I think those events, like, you know, we heard it after the Christmas event. We've heard it, I'm sure, after the Easter Bunny event. People are just proud to be a part of the union. They're proud to bring their families, and, you know, proud to bring grandparents and have them see, you know, and happy to not have to wait in line at, you know, a mall somewhere for the photo.
Yeah, we had one of the women in our union last year wrote us a letter thanking us for the breakfast and how great it was. And that just kind of warms my heart, because that's really what we want to do. Mm-hmm. It's just nice when we're there. All we're thinking about is how we can make sure that everybody else is having a good time.
Yep.
And, you know, when it's over, it's great posting the pictures for our social media page and trying to get people to join then. But at the time, it's really just for them.
Yeah, which, if anybody's been following along, you've been doing the social media. Your last reel looked awesome. It's
Thank
been cool
you.
To see.
Yeah, it's been a growing process.
We
got to
talk about the Malta House, too, but just so much going on with them.
Yeah. What can we expect after the Easter Bunny breakfast?
Melissa actually has a really cool idea that we're going to work on.
Yeah, so I put forth the idea of a softball tournament between all the caucuses.
Nice.
Yes, so I'm going to be looking into reaching out to everyone to see if each caucus could field a team of 10, and if not, if we could borrow people or how we can make it happen. I think that would be an awesome thing to do.
That'd be really cool.
So that's just in the fledgling stage at this point?
Yes.
That's
very
awesome.
Cool.
What else? What else is going on? I'm totally in support of that. I think that's an awesome idea.
We're actually talking about maybe getting a little bit more involved in some 5Ks around the state, finding some causes that we really want to support. Breast cancer awareness, one of our members really brought that up last meeting, and we've been working with Malta House. It's one of the places in Connecticut that helps women from domestic violence. It houses them and shelters them, and so we provided some stuff for them a couple months ago, and once they're ready to move out, then they go out on their own. But in the meantime, it's really great to find ways that we can help in our local community. So
that's a great cause.
You know, Melissa, you're a veteran, right?
I am not.
Oh,
I
not.
Always get that question, though. So it may be in a past life
that
I'm unaware of.
I don't know why I thought that. I did
used to blouse
that.
My pants at one time in another profession. So potentially, I don't know, in another life.
Well, what I was going to say is last year you guys teamed up with Mission 22. And that was another great cause that we saw. And it was kind of cool because we saw, you know, the Women's Committee and the TVC work together a little bit there. TVC helped support it. And it was cool to see everybody. That was a 5K, right? Or a big hike.
Yeah, that was a really big hike. I think it was 13 miles, actually, that we did.
Through the Naugatuck State Forest, right?
Yeah, and it was beautiful scenery. I've lived in Naugatuck majority of my life, and I had no idea of some of the views that they had while going on that hike. And for a cause like that, it was
How
amazing.
How many miles?
13.
13. Yeah. To support veterans.
Now I know why I didn't do it.
Yeah, I felt it for a good week afterwards.
And it was not nice weather that day. So.
No, it was cold, rainy. Oof.
Yep. I sort of remember that, yeah.
Yeah, there's pictures online.
Yeah.
But I think one of the cool things, too, about the events you guys are doing is we don't work at a place where you can bring your kids to work, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, when my kids think about going to work with, you know, mom or dad, or, you know, in my case, dad, they think about coming here. And they think about, like, the people they see, you know, down here, that's your coworkers. And it's cool that we, I think, are able to replicate that in a place where you can't really have people come into the shop.
Well, and your son has developed a real distaste for scabs, am I right?
It's true. Yeah. On his own.
Teach him hilarious.
You know, I talk a lot when I talk about the caucuses, and I talk about the committees and caucuses every couple of weeks with new employees, right? I do a piece on the clubs and caucuses and committees. And I always say that, you know, they kind of have a three-pronged approach to things, right? They do things purely socially. They do things to do community outreach. And then maybe most importantly is they bring their issues to the union, right? And I think it's something that, and this is not a criticism to any of the other caucuses, it's just, you know, kudos to the women's caucus, the women's committee, is, you know, I think the women's committee has done this better than any, right?
Thank you. And
it was evident in the most recent contract negotiations where the women's committee brought at least two issues to the table that are now in our contract, right? The emergency daycare provision and the parental leave.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy we didn't have that parental leave in there already.
It is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important that the caucuses and the committees have those conversations, right? In between doing the events that are super important, right? And that quench that thirst that you have to do the community outreach. I think it's really important to have those conversations about, okay, what are the issues that are important to us, and you know, bring those to the union, right? Bring those to Rocco Kahlo and to the business agents and to the negotiating committee that will negotiate the next contract, so that we can do that groundwork to get that into our next contract.
It's interesting, right? Like you just said, it's hard to believe we didn't have that in there already. And when you think about the quote you read to start the episode, that's exactly what she's alluding to. You know, that after you've bargained for those rights and they become the norm, you lose sight of the fact that, like, how was this not a thing all along?
Right. Right. Yeah, it's kind of disappointing. And when you actually look on the salary side of it, they already had all of that stuff. Yeah. So the fact that we didn't have it yet is really messed up.
Yep.
I think that's why it's important you guys are doing what you're doing.
Yeah, it really is. And so you know, it this is an encouragement to keep having those conversations, right? Because even though we're 4 years out from another contract, it's never too early to have those conversations, right? Okay, we picked off these two things, but those are not the only two things on our agenda, right? So I think it's really important for those caucuses and committees to address those issues, to think about what are our issues and what's important to us, and, you know, how do we drive that to be in a contract or part of the union's agenda.
Totally couldn't agree more.
So talk about the importance that the women's committee plays in the growth of our union. I mean, we talked about how the committee is growing. How does that translate into growing our union?
Like you said earlier, we work in a male-dominated facility. You know, our union is male-dominated. And we bring something else to the table when it comes to the women's committee. We bring a different state of mind. We look at things in a way that a man isn't going to look at them. I know maybe that's offensive to some people. I don't know.
It shouldn't be.
Okay. Yeah. And I think that's really what the hard part is. We want to make sure that women are heard. You know, it's easy for us to just say something and somebody is standing right there looking at us. But I want the men to really hear us when we talk, because we have some really great things to say. And we have a lot of issues that are still happening in our workplace that still need a lot of attention.
great segue. Let's talk about that, right? Let's talk about how you're still struggling as women in this kind of workplace, because it's obvious, right? Whether the men want to acknowledge it or not, it's a male dominated workplace. You know, way too many of us look around the factory and say, well, look, there's way more women now than there was when I got hired. It's not male dominated anymore. Yeah, it is. It is absolutely male dominated, and not just by the pure numbers, but culturally as well, right? So talk about that. Talk about struggles.
Yeah, so I have been in the workforce for 30 years this year, and I've been in a male dominant field for 25 of those years. So I have quite a bit of experience with this. And the truth is that we have come so, so far. I do not want to invalidate how far we've come, but we still have a long way to go. I would not be honest if I glossed over this. And the truth is that, you know, I have worked with some amazing guys, like guys who have taken me under their wing, taught me everything they know, protected my safety, went to bat for me when other men weren't pleasant to me. Just really good guys. And over the years, I've worked with so many of those good guys, and they're out there. But unfortunately, the truth is, the raw truth is that there have been quite a few guys who have been very unkind to me. And it's unfortunate, you know, and taking a hard look at it over the years, there's always one common factor, and it all boils down to insecurity in the individual. And, you know, it's very obvious and apparent when an individual is secure with themselves and they are not threatened or uncomfortable working with a strong woman or a competent woman. It doesn't bother them at all. But when you have an individual who doesn't have a clear sense of self or who isn't really secure with themselves, they will absolutely be bothered with working with a strong woman. It's just the raw truth. And what I have learned and what I'm still learning, and it's a daily struggle, but number one, not to take it personal and not to make it about myself. Because at the end of the day, it's really not about me. It's not really that the individual hates me or that there's something wrong with me. It's that they don't like themselves. And so I have to not take it personal. And sometimes that's very difficult to do. The other piece of it is that I try to have empathy and compassion, because I would imagine it's really uncomfortable to be insecure with yourself. I would imagine it's really uncomfortable to feel in competition with a woman. And so the only solution I could bring to the table is to be empathetic and compassionate, because I can't change someone's perspective or mind, and I can't give another human being a sense of security. That has to come from within. And, you know, I try to lead with humility instead of pride and ego, because, you know, pride and ego can get anyone in trouble. And so if I come to the table humbly, you know, maybe it won't be viewed like I'm trying to take your job or one-up you or be in competition with you. That is not the case. You know, I come to work, I want to work to the best of my ability to my job description. I want to weld good parts that I could be proud of. I want to earn a living. And I just want to do that without worrying about if I'm accepted or if I'm not accepted. And so, you know, that's just the raw truth. I'm not here to sound like I'm attacking men, because that's just not, that's not the case. That's not the truth. There are so many great guys out there to work with. But I also don't want to gloss over the fact that there's still a lot of issues. Women are still treated unfairly in a male-dominant workplace. It's just the raw truth. And so I hope that, you know, we can move, start to move away from that and find solutions, you know, to doing that. What those solutions are, I really don't know at this point.
And I can feel it, right? I can feel that, and I know the truth of it. And kudos to you for taking the high road, right? For approaching that and reacting to that with humility, right? I don't think if I were in your shoes, I would be able to do the same thing, right? I'd be screaming and yelling, right? It's easy to say, right, that, okay, it's that guy's problem, right? It's not my problem, it's that guy's problem, but he makes it your problem, right? He makes it an issue for you, and I can feel it, right, as you talk about it, that it does bother you, right? And it absolutely should bother you, right? The struggle is real, right? And we still have those struggles. It's exactly why I asked the question, right? Because I know the answer. And I hope that people listen to this and rethink the way they treat people in the workplace. You know, it's really hard to be different in our workplace, right? And, you know, I think back, I've been with the company for 37 years. And 37 years ago, a woman in the workplace was very rare, right? And they were treated with no respect at all. And to your point, I think we have come a long way, right? But we're nowhere near where we need to be. We still, you know, hey, you know, you're second banana, right? I'm the guy, I'm in charge, and you know, you're a woman, and this is a man's workplace. I still think that's a predominant train of thought with way too many people.
Thank you for acknowledging that. I really appreciate that.
Again, it's hard. And look, we're going to talk to all of the caucuses, right? We're going to talk to the Black Caucus. We're going to talk to the Pride Caucus. You know, I have a personal connection to the LGBTQ community, and I know I am ultra focused on how hard it is to be in that community in our workplace. Incredibly hard. And I can't wait to have folks from the Pride Caucus on this show, because I want to have that conversation, right? But today's about women, right? And it's still hard, and it frustrates me, right? It frustrates me as a man that it's almost embarrassing. Like I want to find a different group to be part of when I see stuff like that, right? When I hear stories like your story, right? It's embarrassing to me as a man. So thank you for bringing that to light.
You're welcome, Steve, and thank you again for acknowledging and validating what I said.
So how do we change it, right? How do we change it? And it's easy, right? I think it's easy for me to say, you know, to the men in our workplace, hey, guys, get your shit together, right? It's easy, but that it's not easy to convince people to do that. So how do we do that? How do you do that, right? As women, how do you do that? How do you, you know, penetrate that and change that culture?
Well, I think that what you were saying before, you know, you pointed on being embarrassed. And part of the thing is, sometimes I know myself, working at Sikorsky for 18 years, I have grown up there. Like, I'm not that same person I was when I was 19 years old. I'm a mom, I'm a wife. And I think to myself sometimes, when I was younger, especially, and I was going through the things that were happening to me at work, it might have just been, for lack of a better term, we'll call it, you know, shop talk. You know, there's times when the guys are talking and they forget that there's a female around. Yep. and And you might turn to them and say, hey, guys, that's totally okay if you want to talk like that. But maybe you can go do it in a different part of the room, where I'm not here. And I do kind of wish that instead of just rolling their eyes at me or saying, oh, okay, whatever, that there was one of the guys that would have stood up and said, you know what, she's right. If she doesn't want us talking like that, let's go ahead and move to a different area of the room, or let's change the subject to something we can all talk about. So I think a lot of it is, you know, when you see a woman uncomfortable when she speaks up for herself, if you're a male in the workplace, you can go ahead and help speak up for her too, because you have no idea. It makes such a difference from one man to another to say, hey, she's right. She's got a point. We need to listen. We need to respect that.
Yeah.
And not just that, there's also when Jay was talking to me earlier about working in final assembly and me being pregnant out on the assembly line, there was a lot of stuff I went through during my pregnancy that was really hard. And I brought up my mom. She just retired after 45 years. I remember calling her up on the phone, coming home from work, and I was honestly in tears just saying, hey, I told the people at work that I was pregnant, and their response was, well, you just became a lead person and now you can't work with chemicals, or she just got promoted. Like, if she needs help, we don't need to give it to her. Or, hey, we're going to go and move you to a different department while you're pregnant. So, and it's, I don't want to be treated any differently. Yes, I had restrictions, but I'm more of the type of person who I want to continue to do my work to the best of my ability. And I want to find a way to make it work while I'm pregnant. But on the phone with my mom, and she's saying things to me like, wow, nothing's really changed, has it? And that was really when I kind of got it in my head that, no, it hasn't. And it's going to be really uncomfortable, but I'm going to have to stand up. And I'm going to have to raise my hand, and I'm going to have to make some noise. And if people aren't going to listen to me, I'm going to make them listen to me. And so that's when I brought that story to Letter 35, and I explained at Letter 35 in front of everybody about the trouble that I had gone through during my pregnancy and how I thought we could make it better. Sometimes being uncomfortable is the only way that we're going to make a change.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true.
Couldn't agree more. Yes. So you talked about, you know, it would be good to have a man stand up and say, hey, guys, you know, that's not cool. Have you ever had that happen? Has a guy ever stood up and defend, for lack of a better term, and it sounds so sexist,
oh,
saying
just
it,
don't.
Defend your honor?
It wasn't until my story was brought to the e-board that I had, and I want to say men in the e-board stand up for me and really start to listen. But in the actual workplace, no, not so much. Not until, and I will say, in the last month, I have had a man really stand up for me, and that was my safety steward. And I even had to tell him after the fact, like, you have no idea. I guess I should go back to the story first. Okay. The premise behind the whole thing. So I work in shipping and receiving. We had a truck driver come in from outside the company, which is a regular thing. And this truck driver happened to solicit me in the hallway. It was a really uncomfortable situation, and I didn't even really realize at the time what was happening until my male coworker told me later on. When I brought it up to my safety steward, I felt very small bringing it up for some reason, like, oh, I'm just this little weakling and this man solicited me in the hallway. And kudos to my safety steward, because he made me feel like really good about it. He had my back, and we went into a meeting with salary, and he really put them in their place and had my back, and he stood up for me. It made me feel really good. It made me feel super validated.
I hope we've made enough noise and made the company understand that that truck driver can't come here again.
Correct. He is no longer allowed on the facility.
Awesome.
Good.
And I think, did they do anything to make sure, you know, you feel safe moving forward?
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of things that are actually getting put in. We're going to have panic buttons out on the receiving dock. Mm. We're also going to have a fence so that when drivers come in, if we're by ourselves, they'll buzz onto a button, and it will alert us that somebody is out there. If we feel comfortable, we can let them through the gate. If not, they can stay there.
Yeah, you know, it's uncomfortable, like, sharing these stories, I'm sure.
It is.
But I think the common thread you see is that every time somebody shares one of these hard stories, it spurs a conversation that hopefully, if we're doing the right job down here, can help lead to real change that has a real impact.
Totally.
Right. Right.
And that is how we change the culture, right? And you know, I know how this sounds, but I think it's important for men to, you know, most of the men in that factory either, you know, have a girlfriend, have a wife, have a daughter. Think about when you're having those conversations with your coworkers that are inappropriate and there are women in the area. Think about if that was your daughter in the area. Think about if that was your wife. How would you be okay with that, right? Would you be okay with people talking like that in front of your wife, in front of your daughter? I know the answer for me, right? And it's happened to me, right? I'm not going to lie and say I have never engaged in inappropriate conversations, because I have, right? We do. Mm-hmm. And it's happened to me where I've done that in front of a woman, not realizing that the woman was there. And let me tell you, my father was the ultimate gentleman and raised his three sons to be the same way, right? And I was so embarrassed, right? So embarrassed to find out, oh my God, she heard us, right? And I would hope that every guy feels that way, right? Those things are going to happen, right? Those conversations are going to be overheard. But when they are, you should be embarrassed about it, right? And maybe even take that next step and apologize for it, right?
Yeah, just take responsibility for it.
Right, that's the culture, right? That's respect for human beings. Forget about the fact that, you know, it's a woman, right? Respect that person as a human being, right?
Right.
And I think that's where we need to be, right? To ultimately get to a place where it doesn't matter if you're male or female, doesn't matter your gender, doesn't matter any of that stuff. Just respect one another, right?
It's really not that hard.
It's not. It's not that hard. And I don't know why people have so much difficulty with it.
I mean, if we could build helicopters, I think we could respect one another.
Right?
Good point.
It seems, you know.
Building helicopters is way harder.
Yeah.
You just don't know the challenges people face, too, until you sit down and talk, right? Because, I mean, you think about how hard it is to do our job and to get through, you know, work day after work day. And you're struggling with not wanting to put in too much effort because of how somebody might, you know, view you or feel because of the effort you put in or the job you do. And it's, I guess, you don't learn until you really sit down and listen.
I think it's also important to point out that I wish that everyone could understand we all have assets. If the universe was meant to have all men, it would have just all men. If it was meant to have all women, it would have just all women. There's a reason why there's men and women, because there's things that men can do that I can't do, and there's things that I can do that men can't do. That's just the simple logistics of it.
Yep.
So I'm not a threat, I'm an asset. And if you can just put your pride and ego and insecurity aside, you could see that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
100%. You know, I'm thinking back, and I don't know why I remember this, but I'm thinking back on the quote from last year's episode from Women's History Month, and I happen to think it speaks truth. It's kind of a tongue-in-cheek thing, but I happen to think it speaks truth. You know, men like to pound their chests, you know, and be seen and be heard. And the quote, I don't even remember who it was from, but the quote was, if you want something said, ask a man. If you want something done, ask a woman. Right? And yep. And I think there's some real truth to that, right? Women just get down and do it.
Yeah,
right?
We'll find a way.
Yeah. So so Melissa, Kristen, thank you for being on the show. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thank good you for conversation. All you're doing.
Yeah, thanks for everything you're doing. Keep doing it, right? And look to us to help change that culture, right? We're here to do that. We're here to help with that, right? So we're the army behind the Women's Committee.
And we totally appreciate that.
Yes, thank you so much.
Absolutely.
So how does someone get a hold of you or follow you or you know, see the Women's Committee who might be interested?
So if you're looking to get in touch with us, you can email twc@teamsters1150.org. And you can also like us on Local 1150 Women's Committee on Instagram and Teamsters Local 1150 Women's Committee on Facebook. And keep an eye out on your TVs in the shop to see when we're having our next meetings.
So you are offering Zoom now, right, on your meetings?
Yes, we are offering Zoom. We're really trying to get some members from Florida and Alabama to come onto our Zoom and really get involved. We want to reach as many local 1150 women as
so,
we can.
So Florida and Alabama, listen up. If you're interested in getting involved in the Women's Committee and you didn't think that you could, you can attend meetings on Zoom. You will start seeing on the union screens, you'll start seeing the meeting notices. And what we'll do is we'll make sure that there's like a QR code on there that you can scan and join on Zoom, something like that. Or there will be information on that posting that will help you attend that meeting on Zoom.
Yes, definitely. Come join us.
So get with it, women of Florida and Alabama.
Yeah, get it together. Come and join us.
So we have some upcoming events, right?
Yeah, so we've got our Connecticut membership meeting coming up on April 17th. We've got our Alabama membership meetings on March 26th for this month and April 23rd for next month. And our Florida membership meeting is going to be March 28th this month and April 25th next month. And if you're still down in Pax River, God bless you. And make sure you tune in for our Connecticut Zoom meeting. We're having a Zoom meeting for everybody down there.
Yep.
Other events to look forward to, we've got the Bridgeport Islanders Union Night coming up on March 30th. It's going to be at Total Mortgage Arena in Bridgeport. There's discounted tickets available for all of our members. You can bring your family, friends. There's no limit to the number of tickets you can purchase, and each ticket comes with a free hat. So make sure you come down for Union Night. There's also going to be the TVC Golf Scramble. It's one of everybody's favorite golfing events of the year. It's going to be at Whitney Farms Golf Course on Friday, May 17th, so make sure you get your foursome in. There's also tickets for just dinner only. I believe it's maybe 50 or 60 bucks, somewhere
something
around
like
there.
Yeah.
But if you want to do that, come on down. And as always, just keep an eye out on the screens in the shop for information about the different caucus meetings coming up.
So that's going to just about do it for this episode. As always, thanks for listening. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for following the 10 to 12 podcast. If you're not following us, shame on you. Go to Podbean right now and follow us. Remember to let us know what you think about the show. If you love it, let us know. If you hate it, let us know. But let us know something. Shoot us an email at comms@teamsters1150.org. That's comms@teamsters1150.org. And until next time, I'm Stephen French.
And I'm Jason Schumacher.
Thanks for listening.